Thanks. I'm Liz and I'm an addict. Yes, it's nice to be here. I haven't been this nervous about doing a chair for I don't know how long. I feel sick. And the readings were going round, and normally I try and get a bit of inspiration out of reading, you know, when I'm doing a chair. But I didn't hear none of that. I was just went, so I didn't hear any readings. And I've only got 15 minutes, so I haven't got time to do the nervous talky bit. So basically, I won't go into all the childhood because I have got 15 minutes, you know, usual, you know. I don't like myself, my life's rubbish, I don't fit in, I took drugs, took more drugs, ended up on my arse psychotic at 17, so I took more drugs to sort that out. Medicated with heroin for the next few years, and was on my arse again at 25 and in detox. And I had had enough. I'm so glad that I had had enough. By the time I got to that detox, I couldn't do it anymore. The end of my using was in a hospital. I tried to kill myself because I didn't know I could stop using. I didn't know anyone from NA. I didn't think it was possible that I could stop using drugs. And I got into a detox, and it was in there that I heard about NA. I didn't go on to treatment, but there was people, other sort of clients in this detox that told me about NA meetings, and they were saying, look, Liz, if you're going to leave this detox, you need to go to NA if you're not going to treatment. And they were saying, you know, it's really good, this NA, it's really, really good. And I was like, well, it can't be that fucking good because you're back in a detox. Like, I was looking for this answer that, you know, there you go, you're never going to use again, that's it. No work or nothing, you just ain't going to use this answer. And I've come out of this detox and I left my flat. I've got a little girl, she's like 10, nearly 11 now. She was 3 at the time. I'd left my flat and I moved into my mum's. And I went to my first NA meeting. And I've heard people say in meetings, I've heard people say they went to their first NA meeting and it was like coming home and they felt so much love and they really fitted in. But I didn't think that. I didn't like it at all. I sat in the room and I heard God, and I was the only person that didn't speak, and I felt like everyone was looking at me. And after, they all stood up and held hands in a circle and then started like hugging each other and that, and it was just too mad. I thought, nah, this ain't for me. And I ran away. I remember the venue. I ran down this dark path to get away from them. I thought they were nuts. And I went back to my mum's house and I thought, no, that's not for me. And I was in the kitchen making a sandwich, and my dad said to me, you know, how did it go then? And I was like, nah, it's a load of shit. And he went, yeah, it's a load of shit, and it's a cult, and they'll get their claws into you, and they won't let you stop going, and they're mad. And it really got my back up, just that he said that. And I said to him, where the fuck do you know what I need? And just to spite him, I went back to another meeting. And it weren't because I heard anything in that first meeting, it was just to spite my dad, to think, what do you know about addiction? Do you know what I mean? I personally didn't know anything about addiction. I thought I did. I thought I'd just sort of... I didn't realise I was an addict. I thought I'd just been using an addictive drug. That was my problem. I'd got into an addictive drug. I knew nothing about addiction. And that second meeting I went to, I heard quite a few things. And the one main thing I can remember is that one is too many and 1,000 never enough. That really stood out. And I thought, God, how did I know that? That's so true. How did I know that? And some other things in the reading, I was thinking... I got a bit paranoid. I was thinking, oh, they've set all this up just for me to get in my nut, because that's how I think what they're saying. And I used to think so much when I first come round, far too much, but nothing healthy, just overthinking, paranoia. I didn't know anyone in meetings. And when I look back, I think I'm really brave. When I look back and think that I kept coming to these meetings and I was terrified, I was really, really scared of everyone. I was scared of being clean. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. I was terrified of relapsing, and that's what kept me coming back. I was so scared of relapsing. And it took me a long time, and I didn't put down everything, like the total abstinence. I was having none of that at first. I thought, yeah, right, total abstinence. And so I still come to meetings, and I still picked up my key rings, but I was going out and drinking at the weekends, because I thought, oh, they just don't realise that you can actually do this. You can have a drink. They just don't realise. So I'd go to meetings, and the first time I spoke in a meeting, I went straight down the pub after, and I was saying, oh, I just spoke in one of them meetings, and everyone's going, oh, well done, Liz, here, have a drink, and we were celebrating. And this went on for about 4 months. And what happened, I didn't end up on a park bench with a can of special brew. What happened after 4 months, I sort of thought, something's got to go. Either these meetings have got to go, or I've got to stop drinking, because, like I said, I weren't drinking like alcoholically, but I would do things that I wouldn't have done if I was sober. My perspective changed on things, and like I'd have some coke, or I'd sleep with my ex-boyfriend, or you know, I'd do stuff that I wouldn't have done if I was sober. And I thought, it's only a matter of time before I'm going to fit a bit of gear. Seems like a good idea when I'm drunk. So I went to a meeting on this particular Saturday instead of down the pub. And someone put me up for a literature commitment. And and that really was a start for me. And it just went from strength to strength after that. I started to build relationships with people. Women was very difficult, I found, at first, because I'd always sort of hung about blokes, like my boyfriends and his mates, and I'd always felt a lot more comfortable around men. I'd grown up with friends that were girls, but in my using, it was men that I was sort of around. And I met this one girl, and she sort of explained things to me about NA and really simplified it for me. And she was my first friend that I met, and she's still a friend now, actually. She took me to a women's meeting, and I was terrified in a women's, I got a room full of women, and they was all obviously all prettier than me and had nicer clothes than me and, you know, cleverer than me, and I was terrified again, but I made myself go again. And that's what I had to do in my early recovery. I didn't want to do any of this. I had to really force myself to do it, just out of pure fear. And I've always actually had a couple of commitments at least at group level throughout my recovery, and that's kept me coming back, definitely, because there's enough times I wouldn't have gone to a meeting unless I had to, because I've had a commitment there or whatever. And I went on for about 2 years. It was going all right. And I knew it all, and I was going to meetings. I had a sponsor. I'd done a couple of steps, and I relapsed. And it was, I thought about this a lot recently as it goes. It's, I used to be so terrified of relapsing when I first got clean. I thought, it's something that happens to you. Like you go out and, oh God, I've relapsed. It just happened to me. But that is not what happened. When I look back on my relapse, it was a good 7 months before the actual event that it started. And when I look back on how chaotic and mad my life was, it was so obvious that I was going to relapse, you know what I mean? It was it was madness. I couldn't share in meetings what was going on for me because my life was so mental that, you know, someone might have phoned the police or something, so I couldn't share. That's telling you something's not right. If you can't share it because someone might phone the police, that's a little indication of, you know, this behaviour's not on. And, it was total chaos, and thank God it was for 2 weeks I relapsed, but it was awful. And people used to share in meetings, like, you pick up where you left off from. And I couldn't get my head around that. But you do. You really do. As soon as I picked up, I was at the end of my using again, mentally. Mentally, I was on the floor straight away. And I didn't have the lovely denial I had when I was doing my usual, you know, my normal sort of using. Because I was a victim before. When I was using before I got clean, I was a victim. I had to use because I was a junkie and I didn't have a choice in the matter. But once I'd been clean for a while, I knew I didn't have to do this. And it was so painful. It was so painful. And thank God someone took me to a meeting after a couple of weeks. And that was 5 years ago now. And I have learned from that big time. And I wouldn't advise anyone to go and try that for themselves, you know. Believe me, it don't get any better out there. And a lot's happened over the past 5 years. I think that's what she meant, 5 years. Yeah, a lot's happened, good and bad. And it's funny because when I was using, I did used to think, if I weren't taking drugs, it'd be so boring. There's nothing to do. If you're not drinking and taking drugs, life would be so shit. There's nothing to do out there. And then I got clean and I sort of realised I didn't do nothing. Before I got clean, my life was very boring. All it consisted of was using, getting drugs and gouching and getting drugs, using, and just that same thing day after day after day. And since I've got clean, I've done so much. I really have, and it has been full, way beyond my wildest dreams, the stuff I've been doing. I've got some brilliant friends in my life, women friends as well. I've got a great relationship with my daughter, and I've got a sponsor. My sponsor, I've had her for, 5 years from my relapse, but she's actually one of the first women I had speak in a meeting, and I felt really comfortable talking to her. And I've sort of been going through the steps with her, and the steps, I don't do myself any favour around these steps, by the way. It's like, first couple, easy. You know, I didn't have no bother doing them first couple of steps. Getting my head around them, it was blatant for all to see that I was powerless and unmanageable, and the insanity side of it, I had no problem sort of addressing all that. The step three, I didn't believe in a God when I come here, but I sort of look around the room and I'd hear people talking about God, and they seem to be quite happy and doing all right. So I thought, well, I'll try that, but I don't know how to pray because I don't know the language. I thought there was like a special language you've got, like Old English or something. So I used to just say that serenity prayer. And I didn't even know if anything was there, but I thought, well, if nothing's there, it don't matter. Do you know what I mean? Nothing's going to laugh at you because there's nothing there. So just fucking say it and see if it helps. And so I got into the habit of saying it every night. And I did sort of think, oh, and really thinking about what it meant, the sentences, what it meant. And it did help me because during the day, I'd just think about the serenity prayer and then sort of apply it to situations. And it did help me. And as time went on, I started to elaborate and throw a few of my own lyrics in. Do you know what I mean? And I've ended up with this sort of prayer, this thing, and I do it all the time. But it's, you know, it's no special language or nothing. It's just what I want to say to God every day, which I feel helps me. And it's a personal thing to me. It's not out of a book or anything. And I found that as God, I tell you what, that step three stuff and that higher power stuff, I wouldn't be here if I hadn't had that, because I have been dealt some really shit cards over the last 5 years. There's been a lot of good stuff, but as everyone knows, life can be pretty unfair and horrible at times. And if I didn't have that step three to get me through stuff, which no one else could do anything about, that is totally out of anyone's control or power, if I didn't have this higher power that I feel telling me, look, you're going to get through this, it's going to be all right no matter how bad things are, I wouldn't have been able to stay clean. It's meant a lot to me, that. And I've done my 4 and 5 with my sponsor. That was interesting. That was, because I just thought it was all about pointing the finger and then she kept turning it back to me. But it was interesting, and I was given 30 defects, which was quite a surprise. And that's what I'm on now, the 6, which I need to look at. And I need to shut up because this 15 minutes is coming to an end. I'm trying to think of a right good pearl of wisdom to end on, but I ain't really got any. All I can say is I'm clean. I've been clean consistently, day to day. I've been clean for the last 5 years. How I've done that is coming to meetings, doing service, making sure I've at least had 2 service commitments in a group so that gets me to the meetings when I don't want to go there. Being honest with myself, as well as other people, but being honest with myself, because I just tell myself a load of shit at the best of times. I have to really sort of confront myself around my behaviour. And just taking it a day at a time. That's all you can do, a day at a time. Oh, thank God that's over. I'm going to leave it there. Thanks for asking. Well, you didn't ask, did you?